We are honored to be joined on the Rumble Revolution Hotline by Black Crowes drummer and sports genius Steve Gorman. Hello,
oh,
sir.
You
how
got
are
the
you?
Memo. You got the note that said I have to be called sports genius. I'm glad to see that.
From what I understand, and I looked at your work on the Black Crowes website as well as your sports site, you're the real brains behind the operation, I understand, and you are the guy that people go to get the answers they need in the world.
It's a sad but true statement, sir. There's a lot of troubled Black Crowes fans out there, and through no real effort of my own, I find myself in this most cherished position.
Now, I looked through the website today, and people ask you questions, and then you hit them back on there, and you answer them. One of the things that disturbed me, though, was that it looks like there's a lengthy hiatus maybe coming up at the end of this year. Is that true?
That's true. Yeah, we need to shut her down for a while, put her up on blocks and take a break. We've been at it. This is six straight years we've been on the road, so we're going out this year is hard and heavy, and then we're gonna take a break and chill out for a bit.
Now, on the flip side of that, this is the last show you guys play for a month, I think, tomorrow night. So you were gonna really blow it out tomorrow night at Riverfest, right?
That's what we plan to do.
I love it.
To the best of my knowledge, we do in fact plan to blow it out. We've been doing a lot of weekends here in the spring lately, and some of these, you know, starting the festival circuit, and we've been having a good time. We're doing long sets in the fall on the full tour, and so these festival shows, you get up for an hour and a half, 2 hours at most, and we're cramming a lot of songs into that time frame though, and it's a lot of fun.
Obviously, we want to talk a lot about the music, but we're a sports station, and you're a sports guy, so I want to ask you about the teams you watch, the teams you root for, and what kinds of things you talk about. I've been talking about your set list that you pull up, which is kind of your rundown of what you're going to get into, which I thought was pretty hilarious. We were reading some of the stuff off that the other day on the air. But you grew up in Michigan, so are you still a guy that roots for, you know, like the Detroit teams, or are you a guy that strictly follows Atlanta?
I left Michigan when I was three, but I lived in Maryland for a few years, but then really grew up in Kentucky.
Okay.
But always in a Michigan house. So I grew up sort of, you know, and for college sports, it was always Michigan, not Michigan State, you know, but you know, I was sort of a free agent. When you live in Kentucky, you can pick your own pro sports after a while. So I never stayed with any of the Detroit teams.
So who'd you follow?
Well, basketball, I was a lifelong Laker fan until the late 90s when I just lost interest. I got the Shaq thing. When Shaq went to the Lakers, gave his press conference and said that he wanted to be young, have fun, and drink Pepsi, and never mentioned anything about winning championships, that's when I abandoned all hope. But now, it's great not having a team in the NBA because I really enjoy the NBA again for the last few years.
You've got to pick a team. You got to pick a team.
He doesn't have to.
I don't have a favorite. I don't. I'm sorry. I live and die with my Western Kentucky University Hilltoppers in college basketball and Michigan. Football, I'm a Tennessee Titans fan. I mean, I'm, you know, all on board there.
Okay.
Baseball, I'm an Orioles and Braves fan. A lot of October ulcers for me.
That's good. Well, the good news is that you're objective, and so we can trust your opinion on what you think will play out here. Clearly one of the classic games we've seen in recent history in the playoffs last night with the Suns and Lakers. So if you had to pick one way or the other in the East and the West, where are you going?
Well, at this point, I mean, I don't expect Boston to even be able to field a team much longer. So I watching those guys just fall like dominoes over the last couple of games, it's pretty stunning. I was going Celtics all the way. In fact, I was – before Game 5, I was picking the Celtics. We do on Steve Gorman Sports, which is my a website I have, and we do podcasts. On the last podcast we just recorded the other day, I said Boston's going to take it all the way, and then they. And ever since then, it's kind of been, you know.
Might be time for an update, huh?
I just dig that they play such great D, and I think Rondo is at a different level right now. But I don't know. It's weird. It would be amazing. I just love the fact now I would love to see Orlando come back just so Boston could suffer two in the same month, have two teams with a 3-0 lead fall apart. Because, you know, I say I'm objective, but I always root against any team from Boston just on principle.
That's good. Well, our co-host is from Boston, so we like you
really,
all the more.
Really, Steve? Okay. Well,
I'm going to have to turn Pat's mic off so this doesn't get ugly.
Be very careful where you sleep tonight, my friend.
That's
on the
why,
bus.
Right there. See? You just proved my point. Everyone's
Listen, he's going to wake up tomorrow. His bus is going to be on some blocks.
Okay? Tell you what, you know what? Then you'll really appreciate this. I'm totally hooked up at Fenway. I go all the time.
Oh, I'm going to kill you!
That's
what do you mean?
The ultimate irony?
No, you don't.
I do. I'm going I was there 3 weeks ago. I saw Dice K pitch against the Angels, and I'm going next
you
week
an Angel
for a day
shirt.
Game against the A's.
Did you wear an Angel shirt when you watched Dice K pitch?
No, I did not. I'm not. Okay. I'm not stupid.
Oh man. So, tell me about. You've been to Riverfest before, I guess. You guys have played down here before, so this won't be your first run through Arkansas.
No, we've done Little Rock a million times, and we did Riverfest. I think it was 5 years. It was 05 or 06.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just in the last couple of years, but we had a good time. That actually, when we did, I just remembered this yesterday when we did Riverfest. It was 05. You know, we travel with different names in hotels just so people can't call our rooms. And my name at the time was Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp, if you aren't all insanely obsessed with international soccer like I am, Dennis Bergkamp was a Dutch national team member for years. He was a striker. And then he played for Arsenal, which is my favorite soccer team in London. And so that was the name I was traveling under. And I ordered some coffee in the morning at the hotel in Little Rock, and I opened the door. And the guy bringing my coffee, as it turns out, was an exchange student from Denmark. and he was standing there, like, the look on his face, because he actually had somehow convinced himself it was the real Dennis Bergkamp. And no one, I mean, for a year on the road, no one even knew what that name meant. But the one kid, and then he opened the door, and I said, "How you doing?" And he looked at me, and he goes, and I saw it all right away, and he had an accent. I go, "You were thinking I was Dennis Bergkamp?" And he goes, "I must admit, I was very excited." I couldn't figure out why he was in Little Rock, and I said, "Oh, well, he's not. Sorry, you know, just a jerk and a rock band, man. My bad."
I gotta be honest, Steve. There were a million things I expected you to say on the interview today, and that was not one of them. So
of
I guess I should get a World Cup pick then too. It's not something I was going to talk about. We're not big soccer fans, but we're afraid we'd get beat up if we talk about it too much. But as long as you're into it, tell me who you like.
You're not big soccer fans yet.
Okay.
Dig into the World Cup. Make the commitment. Who do I like? I like the Ivory Coast this year as not really much of a sleeper. I mean, they're one of the best teams in the world, but they're in the group of death. They got to get past Portugal and Brazil, but I'm liking the Ivory Coast. And in fact, I always cheer for the Dutch national side. That's my emotional pick every year is to go with Holland because I was a huge fan of those teams in the 70s.
Okay, so tell me about the podcast. You talked about it, Steve Gorman Sports. How do you make all that work? Because you've been on the road, like you said, for an extended period of time. How do you do all that? How do you keep up with everything? And, of course, the internet makes things easier.
Well, it's kind of easy now. It actually started, we were doing a radio show over the last couple of years at a station in Nashville, just doing Sunday nights, Gorman Sports. And then when I went on the road last fall, when I came back, I couldn't do it from tour, obviously. It would just be when I was home. And when I got home at the end of last year in December, the station was just going through some stuff. It just didn't work out to get back on the air. And I met a buddy who was doing all these different types of podcasting, and he said, we should get into that. I'm generally a decade behind the times, technologically speaking, but I'm trying to move to the forefront now with, you know, the fact that you can actually just record a show into your laptop and edit it down and put it up online and people can listen. So I'm feeling like I'm living in the space age these days. But I do those in Nashville when I'm home. And when I'm on the road, the guy that I do the show with, Brandon Gannett, my buddy from Nashville, you know, we can do it on the phone. I can call and we can still record things. So we do that. And then we're about to start. We're getting some interviews lined up because, you know, I do run – a lot of people come to shows. A lot of athletes come to see gigs. I mean, Bill Walton was at a gig last week, and we talked hoops for like an hour and a half. And then as I left, I went, I probably should have interviewed him. You know, like I was just talking basketball with him, all excited, you know, hearing about, you know, John Wooden and David Thompson and stuff from when I was a kid. And then it dawned on me, wow, I actually have a show. I should have thought of it in those terms, but I was just being a basketball fan at the time.
Wow,
but we have there's a lot of musicians, as you guys probably know.
Mm-hmm.
Athletes love to talk about music, and musicians love to talk about sports. And so the whole concept of the show is basically that. If I have a musician on, we talk sports, and if I have an athlete on, we talk music. And I'll let everybody else talk about chicks, but sports, music, and chicks, that's the three things every guy I know wants to talk about.
Who's your favorite athlete musician?
Favorite athlete slash musician?
Yes. Yeah. Athlete first, musician second. Well, maybe vice versa. We don't
that would have to be me.
What do you play?
Are you a good athlete?
Come on, don't give him that, Steve.
No, there was a time and a place, but I have to admit it was a long time ago.
What was it?
I played a lot of basketball and a lot of soccer. I played basketball like in leagues and really uber competitively until I was about 35.
High school, all-star, state champs,
High school, high school,
made the regional team. Never got out of the region. Didn't get to the state tournament or anything, but I did what I could.
So did you go to college?
I used to have springs, man. 6'3", and I was up springs. And down. I was breathing the rare air, baby.
You haven't heard?
You used to touch the bottom of the backboard?
Air Gorman, you never heard of him?
Air Gorman.
Hey, look, you know, there's photographic evidence of a young man who with hops, but like I said, that was a long time ago.
I love it. Steve Gorman, the drummer for the Black Crowes and Sports Genius, joining us in the zone. I just feel improper not mentioning the Sports Genius part.
By the way, while we're saying that, don't underestimate the singer in my band. That man's deadly from outside. You can't leave
Steve.
Chris Robinson unguarded.
Oh,
get
yeah.
Out of
well,
here.
Guess what? Are you guys going to be around
tomorrow
all day?
Listen, guys, I'm going to tell you. In games of 2-on-2, he and I have never, ever lost to two other musicians. And we've played a lot of guys in hoops who think they got game.
Who have you played that I'd be impressed by? Who have you played and beaten that I would actually be impressed by?
Let's see. Well, we had a game set up with the Beastie Boys. You know, they're from Long Island, and they think they understand ball up there, which to me is just hilarious. And I'm looking at them going, I'm from a small town in Kentucky. You really want to do this to yourselves? Yeah. And that they turned out all talk. But when we would do tours, like the tours where you have, like, the first year we really got out and killed everybody was back in 95 on the Horde tour. We had a couple guys in Blues Traveler. Those dudes are big, like 6'5", you know, a couple of them. Wilco was on that tour with a couple of hosses that could play. We played G Love, you know, Garrett from G Love. Yeah. That dude's like 6'5". Talk. No game. We let him have it.
Popper didn't play though, right?
Popper did not play, surprisingly enough.
He's in much better shape to play now though, so maybe next time around.
Yeah.
So you're undefeated.
You know what? You know, basically, this is common knowledge that the offer's always there. All anyone ever has to do is step up.
I love it. I would have never guessed that Chris could play hoop. That's surprising.
Well, if you stick around tomorrow,
we used to play all the time back in the day. In the late 80s in Atlanta, you know, when I first moved down to Atlanta, I was always going to courts, just city courts, and getting in games because, you know, I had played so much. And he'd come out with me, and I was the same way. I was like, dude, you're not going to play any ball. You know, of course, you know, all you got to do to him is say you can't do something, and then I'd rev him up pretty good. But, no, he had some serious game. It benefited, too, because he's a guy that people would always underestimate. So they, you know, they would give him a little extra space. But if you leave him open, you'll pay for it. Oh.
Steve, tell me, talking about the music a little bit, I mean, you guys have been so hugely popular for so long. And, again, you guys basically had instant success as far as the first big album that was out. And, you know, you guys being huge instantly almost. And I looked at your set list for some of the shows you guys have played recently. Still play a lot of the stuff from the first couple albums, but mix it in some of the new stuff. Just talk about that and how you guys sort of go about that. Because I know you, or I would assume that you like to try to mix in some of the new stuff as much as you can, but there's a balance there, I'm assuming, that you want to try to reach.
Yeah, well, it's been very different over the years. I mean, some years are very different. You know, we've done years, you know, the last couple years we were doing a lot of new stuff. We've had two albums out in 08 and 09 we put albums out.
Right.
And on those tours, we did a lot of that new material. This year, definitely, this is 20 years since our first album, incidentally.
Isn't that crazy?
Which would explain why my back hurts so much. but this is 20 years, so this whole year, we definitely are going back into all the, you know, thinking much more along the lines of all the different records and a lot of the earlier stuff. You know, I think over the last few years, if you came to see us, you might hear two songs off the first album on a given night. Mm-hmm. And some of these shows we're doing 5 and 6, you know, because and it's a lot of fun. It's kind of, you know, it's great because people are hearing songs they don't usually hear every night. But, you know, we have probably realistically 10 or 11 songs that, like, everybody's heard. You know, there's the songs that a ton of radio play in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
And we've never been the band who would go out and play all those on a given night. And this year's making more of an effort to do that because this whole year is kind of more of a celebration. You know, we're at 20 years and it's the first time we feel like it's appropriate to say, you know, gee, how did we do this? This is pretty impressive. Like, we're all of a sudden very impressed with ourselves for the first time.
Well, you ought to be. Talk about the newer stuff and I guess the album that came out. Hit in October, maybe, before the Frost came out?
I think it was like the end of August last summer, I think.
So talk about the new stuff, and I was listening to it this morning, and just talk about, you know, some of your thoughts on the newer stuff that you guys have done.
Oh, he really loved talking to you, bro.
He didn't want to talk about it, I guess.
He had to go.
Hopefully he'll call back. He was so good about, like, when we were setting this thing up, he's like, yeah, anytime, let me know. I'll go as long as you want. There he is again. And hey, listen, if you don't want to talk about the new stuff, you don't have to hang up. It's okay.
I listen, man. I mean, there's lines that should not be crossed.
Sorry about
Funny.
That. I don't,
you know, you know what happens if you start to kind of walk around and you're talking and not paying attention, then you hit that off button. It's weird what happens.
That happens. Where are you right now?
Yeah, we've made two records in the last few years, both up in Woodstock, New York. Not by design, almost kind of coincidentally the way they came about, but War Paint and then Before the Frost. And, you know, we feel like really, really invigorated. You know, band, since the summer of 2007, we've felt like a new band again. And it's kind of, it sounds trite to say that because, you know, a lot of bands, you hear people say those things a lot of times, but it's really nice to say it and mean it and feel it because, that, you know, we're all very happy with the new, with where the band has gone, and especially the last album, which was really a double album, and we recorded it, you know, with a live audience over the course of five nights up in New York.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a fun way to make a record, and it was something we'd never done, and we, you know, like I said before, with set list this year and playing a lot of the older songs, I mean, that's kind of, we've never been that band. We've never tried to repeat ourselves, and every time we do something, we try to do something that we've never done. It keeps it interesting for us and keeps sort of a fresh amount of motivation and inspiration is always good. So making the record we made the last month was definitely a great example of that.
Tell me about, I was looking back at some of the old album covers, and I remember now because, I mean, I was really listening to a lot of your stuff then, but not that I don't now, but the Amorica album cover, you guys took such a beating over. So go ahead. We're far enough removed now. So who's responsible? Who came up with the concept?
I think that would be Chris.
Okay. Were you guys surprised at the reaction?
I can tell you who didn't, and that would be me.
So you didn't used to be the brains behind the operation, but after incidents like that, you became the brains behind the operation?
I wouldn't go so far. Listen, man, if I'm the brains behind any operation, it's not getting too far. Trust me.
Were you surprised at the heat you guys took over that?
No, I wasn't. I mean, I looked at it at the time. I mean, there was some sort of a message he was trying to get, which I don't think ever really worked. I mean, because we've never been a blatant, you know, we've never been a band that played up the whole sex, drugs, and rock and roll thing. Maybe the drugs, rock and roll, but the misogyny and the entire, you know, there's a lot of, you know, stripper culture nonsense around rock bands that we've never really been a part of, and that was not at all the intent. If you listen to that album, I think that was just a looking back with a little hindsight, a misdirected artistic statement, if that's a nice way to put it.
It's nice.
But I looked at it and thought to myself, well, it's just that message isn't going to come across. If you listen to that album, I don't necessarily think pubic hair. That's just me.
I definitely don't either. No, yeah.
There's a lot more going on there. And it was kind of it's sad that record was sort of, it did become a focal point, which was never the intention. And, you know, it's just one of those things, you know, live and learn, move on. But I love that album. I just wish it hadn't gone, you know, instantly out, come out in the store. Back then when there were record stores and people bought records, which was really kind of a cool concept, back when that was happening, you know, the focal point to be on the album cover was their disappointment.
Yeah, I totally agree. When you have done as much as you guys have done musically, do you have an album that jumps out or that you say, oh, that's my favorite, or a song or anything like that, or you just obviously got ownership in all of it?
Yeah, it's all of it, you know, because I can't listen to any of our albums without in my head going back into, you know, I remember everything about recording them. I remember about the first time we played these songs live. I mean, there's so many memories and so many attachments that, you know, it's kind of hard to say one is my favorite. But I mean, if I were going to get in the car and I had to drive somewhere and put one on and listen to it start to finish, I think it would probably, right now, Mike, I would say our second record, Southern Harmony. That's a good
favorite driving
record. It's pretty rocking. You know, that would get me where I was going. But, you know, if you put on any record, I can get lost in it. I don't really listen to our records that often, though. I mean, I listen to them constantly until they're released. And then once they're out in the public, then I don't feel like it's my record anymore. It's everybody's. It's anybody who has it, takes it home, and does whatever they want with it. You know, they hear it the way they want to hear it. And, you know, there's my favorite time to have a Black Crowes record is when we've recorded it and it's not released yet. I listen to them every day at that point. But then, like I said, once it's out, I kind of move on.
Right. Any chance we might see or hear, rather, My Morning Song in the set list on Saturday night?
There's always a chance. It's still in the rotation. We've never put that song aside. You know, that's a standard. So
yeah.
I don't know, but there's a, you know, I'd say there's in all likelihood, maybe.
I love the commitment. That's good. So
I'm nothing if not committed, man.
I respect that. Now, at the end of the year, will you focus more on the sports stuff, or what are your plans, or do you have a plan at this point?
I don't really have a plan at this point. I mean, I'm definitely going to continue with the sports stuff. You know, that's a lot of fun, and it's a very slowly building community online. I mean, I don't do any Facebook or any of that crap personally, but for the Steve Gorman Sports Facebook page, it's a lot of fun to have a lot of interaction with people. And, you know, there's a lot of funny, you know, we get a lot of really great contributions just from people who listen to the podcast. There's a lot of good humor involved. And like I said, I'm going to start, but over the course of the fall, we're going to start mixing in a lot more interviews with people and, you know, just kind of take that as long as it's fun, and we'll just see where we can go with it. And I don't even know what that means. I don't have a master plan for it, but it's just a lot of fun. And then musically, I live in Nashville, so there's always musical projects at home going on and just session work and playing things with other people that I'll do. So when the Crows are on a break, there's no shortage of things to stay busy with.
You guys is it just kind of a whatever as far as the break goes? You guys will figure it out when it's comfortable to get back in and start working again, or is this?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and the thing is, you know, we did this before, and it was really a breakup, you know, and we just didn't want to say that, I guess, at the time. And this is, you know, the vibe is really good out here, and we're all more, it's amazing to say this, but more than at any time in our career, I think we're all sort of seeing eye to eye and feeling very good about things. And so that's why, and we've learned from, in the past, you know, working nonstop and driving ourselves crazy. And so this is a good time to say everything feels good right now, and we can feel that we're going to be a little burnt by the end of this year. You know, it's that thing of, okay, we went home for a few months after Christmas last year, recharged our batteries and whatnot, you know, and got ready for this year. But with the 20th anniversary, it just seems like a good time to go out and say thanks to everybody, and then you know, set it aside for a while until everybody's really refreshed again. And you know, you get charged up by doing other projects. I mean, for musicians anyway, it's, you know, to go play with other people is something that brings you back to your own band stronger and more excited than ever. So we're looking forward to that.
Being as willing as you've been with us to come on and do an interview for an extended period of time, I'm assuming you've done a billion of these over the last 20 years or so, which obviously qualifies you to do a lot of interviews. So on the other side of things, who have you enjoyed talking to as far as interviews go?
You mean that I've interviewed?
That you've done the interview, yeah. You've conducted it.
You know, the best sports interview I did, my favorite I've ever done, was last year I had Rod Thorn on, the president of the Nets, you know, the guy who's been the GM for years. And Rod Thorn, and just because he's the guy that drafted Michael Jordan when he was the GM of the Bulls. And Rod had a good career himself. And he came on our show, and we talked for almost an hour. He was just great. But just talking to him about, like, the NBA in the 60s when he came in, and just through the 70s, and getting his opinion on different players. And anytime you talk to a guy like that that's been around a sport for a long time, for me, like, I'm not thinking like traditional, I'm not a sports journalist, you know what I mean? I don't get a list of questions I'm supposed to ask the guy. It's kind of cool. But I basically just go into stuff I remember from my childhood, or, you know, if there's a player I always liked who was never quite the marquee name, you know, I get a guy like Rod Thorn on, and I'm like, so, you know, what were your thoughts on Marcus Johnson? You know, guys like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, players that I liked that were never the superstars, but were really solid players. And I find that stuff really interesting, you know.
I want to interview the GMs of
past. Anytime you talk to somebody who's a lifer in a sport,
right?
You know, guys behind the scenes, I mean, they have so much insight. You know, I mean, that guy's forgotten more than I ever could hope to know. And I love that stuff.
Yeah. I want to interview the GMs that passed on Jordan at some point, too. That would be really good.
Well, you know, looking back, it was only two of them, and they both took big centers. So, I mean, it's not as insane as it would sound. It was Olajuwon and Sam Bowie, I believe, were the two guys picked in front of them.
Right.
Not that I'm a, you know, sports geek or anything.
Well, no, not at all. I can tell. So you work with another guy. Who's the I heard another guy on there with you doing the podcast. Who is that?
Yeah, Brandon Gannett. He is naturally a graphic artist at the museum in town, because, you know, that's who you think of when you think sports.
Automatically. A rock drummer and a guy who's in art. That makes perfect sense to me.
He's a good buddy of mine, and he's a sports obsessed. And the funny thing was, is I have a cousin who's the director of broadcast services for the Indianapolis Colts. So he's up in Indy, and he does all the in-house radio and TV for the Colts. And the original idea a couple summers ago was he was going to come down on Sundays and do the show with me. And he's a very funny guy, and he actually worked for the Crows for the 90s. He was on the road with us like almost that whole decade. So, and he's my cousin, but he's really kind of more like a brother. So so we were going to do a Gorman and Gorman sort of vibe. And then at the last minute, his whole summer plans changed. He couldn't do it, and I had already committed to doing this radio show, and I didn't know what I was doing, really. And so I didn't want to go in there by myself, and so, of course, I called my friend, Brandon, and I said, hey, you got to do this radio show with me. And his exact response was, I never even gave a speech in high school. I said, perfect. That would be great. So,
radio is 10 times easier than speaking in public, for sure.
Yeah, we felt our way through a few awkward Sunday night editions, but hit our stride pretty quick, and it's a lot of fun.
How often are you updating the podcast?
Once a week. We just took a little break because we live in Nashville, and we just are still dealing very much with the flood up there, which is, a million times worse than most people ever understood. But so we just took about 3 weeks off. We were at the Kentucky Derby running around up there, and we left the Derby Saturday night and drove back into Nashville just in time to get there for the flood. So that was a pretty hectic weekend. But I think yesterday we posted our first podcast since the Derby.
Man, is that your first Derby? You've been before, I assume, growing up in Kentucky.
That's the second time. I never won as a kid, but I've just gone the last 2 years, and I have every intention of going as often as possible. It's a lot of fun.
Cool. Well, Steve,
yeah, go up to the Derby. I don't know anything about horses, and I don't pretend to. You know what I mean? That's a whole experience that has so much more to do with, it's such a crazy mix of people and of scenes and of different sort of, it's more than just a dumb drunken party, which it's that too.
Right.
But there's a lot more stuff going on. It's a pretty fascinating world to sort of walk into for a weekend.
Well,
it's funny because we get totally hooked up with full access media credentials because I'm such a media guy,
Right. Well, you're a sports journalist now, whether you like it or not. Here's the thing. I'll make you a deal. If you can break away next year when you get some downtime and come over, we'll take you down to Oaklawn, which is a horse track that's been around here for over 100 years. We could talk a little horse racing. Maybe you can help us appreciate soccer a little bit better.
I would be more than happy.
All right.
Thank
well, we're up against
the offer.
Hey, Steve, listen, I really appreciate the time and hope to meet you in person maybe tomorrow night. And have a great show. We look forward to seeing you here at Riverfest.
All right. You got it, man. Thank you.